Well, as we think this morning about this giant that we need to slay from 1 Samuel chapter 17, I want to say to us, number one, that rejection is real. And I want you to look at the screen here and where it says nobody wants to be left out or looked over. I want you to think with me about a time maybe when you were maybe just a little bit younger and you were in a field somewhere, or maybe as my case was in St. Louis, I was on a street and you were choosing sides to play a game of baseball. Or was it football? Or maybe in St. Louis it was soccer. And you were in a group of about 10 or 12 people. And there were two guys, we called them the captains because the captains were athletic. And they had the opportunity to choose a team. And those captains pretty well knew their group. I want him. He's fast. He's strong. He's stout. Well, I'll take him. Well, I'll take him. Well, I'll take him. And there's these two little guys. They don't have a lot of talent. They fumble and stumble. They can't really hit a ball. They can't catch a pass. I'll take him. And here's this little guy over here. He's left. And I'll take him. You know that feeling of being passed over, looked over, rejected? Did you know that's what David felt? David knew this firsthand. He was the youngest. And here were these guys going out here on the battlefield day after day after day. And somebody had to stay behind and tend the sheep. Somebody had to take care of the home front. If anybody knew rejection, it was David. And look at the comment his elder brother made about him in verse 28, what Jacob read a couple of minutes ago. Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the man, and his anger was aroused against David. And here's what he said to him, condescendingly. Why did you come down here? And incidentally, he says, with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? Uh-oh. I know your pride and the insolence of your heart. You just came down here to see the battle, didn't you? Rejected. That's exactly how he felt. Saul says to David just a little bit later on in our text, you're too small. You're too little. And really, when we think about things that have happened in our lives, how many times have we felt this? Your parents split and you had to adjust to a life between families. A trusted friend stopped taking your calls and responding to your texts. A loved one suddenly died and left you alone. And you could feel the sense of rejection. When you get down here to 1 Samuel 17, about 42, 43, and 44, David heard these words. You're not big enough. You're not strong enough. You're not stout enough. You're too little. You can't handle it. I know your heart. You're not able to do this. Who do you think you are coming down here and leaving those sheep without any direction? You know, when you really stop and think about it, look at the bottom of the screen here. One of the most powerful forces in all of humanity is the feeling of being accepted. The idea of being rejected is a huge giant that we have to slay in our lives when we look back at some of the things that have happened to us in our lives. And for some people, it just wells up within them and they just can't seem to overcome it because the giant is so big. And David saw that giant and he was big. that he had to overcome not just the giant, but he had to overcome the people who said things about him and to him about his lack of handling the giant. Rejection is tough. Long term, I want to say this to us today, and if you don't remember anything about the message, I hope you'll remember this because it's true. Rejected people reject people. And I want you to think about the man who walked into the post office and he just opened fire. You know why? Because he was fired from his job. I want you to think about the person who kills their spouse. And they say this, because she rejected me, I'm going to kill and I'm going to take my own life. You know why? Rejected people reject people. And they become dangerous. And I want us to see long term how dangerous it is if we don't slay the giant, if we don't kill the giant of rejection, what it's going to do to us. So, having said that, how do we get past rejection? I want to take you to the book of Ephesians and give you about four ways this morning that you and I can overcome the giant of rejection that may be in your life even as we speak. It may be that you've carried this around for many, 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 many years in your life. Well, I believe the first chapter of the book of Ephesians will give us the ammunition we need to slay the giant of rejection. And the first one is, in 2:10, the fact of our own individual creation. When Paul gets to the end of the subject of grace, here's what he says to culminate that. He says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. How do we overcome rejection? We realize that we're going to take it into a higher level. We're going to kick it into a different gear. We're going to realize there's something bigger and greater. God made me. God formed me. I am in His image. I'm after His likeness. And it may be that somebody down here doesn't like me. It may be that somebody down here rejects me. It may be that somebody down here humiliates me. But I can remember that God made me. Amen, church? And that should give us some confidence, knowing that God is my Creator. Number two, in Ephesians 1 and verse 4, it says that Jesus chose us before we chose Him. What a concept this is. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. What a wonderful thought that we don't have to get into a group of 12 girls or 10 boys and have to pick and choose sides and go in order of athletic ability and talent and whatever case that might be. But realizing that wherever we are, God chose us. And the reason God chose us is because we chose Him. We realize that God sent Jesus to the cross on our behalf. And incidentally, that is the third reason, is understanding and grasping the cost of our rescue. And that again is in Ephesians 1 verse 7. In whom? Jesus. In whom we have redemption through His blood. What Kyle talked to us about a few moments ago. That cup represents the crimson red blood of Jesus that was shed, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Watch this. The forgiveness of sins. According to what? According to the riches of His grace that we read about in Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. I mean, can you grasp your rescue today? When I was in Antigua a few weeks ago, one of our group members was injured. As a matter of fact, he fell or was hit by a wooden shutter that was held up by those eye hooks, and one of them rusted out. And wouldn't you know it, as he was walking under it, it gave way, and the force of it, bam, hit his head, and over there they put in 7 stitches. Now in the United States we would have put in 14. They put in 7. They quickly came to the rescue. You know, blood was spewing everywhere and it was pretty gory looking for a while. And here was this little, small, tiny rescue unit in English Harbor where we were staying. This guy kind of nonchalantly walks down there, and he was from the rescue squad. And he cleaned him up well, and he put those stitches in, and the healing is fine, and everything's good. But have we ever stopped to consider our rescue? It wasn't through an ambulance. Our rescue wasn't through somebody getting us in their vehicle and driving 75 miles per hour on 185. Our rescue cost Jesus his blood. And because of rejection, I can come to the grasp that I was rescued from something any greater than this world has to offer. And number 4, I want to share this point with you, and I think this is the one that's very, very valid. That you and I need to live from acceptance and not for it. And we find that in Psalm chapter 8, where the psalmist said, "Who is and what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou would visit him?" Do you not know, he says, that you were created in such a way as that God will visit you and know you and recognize you and take you up in his arms and take care of you? And there they are right there. The 4 ways that you and I have been called upon to get past that terrible feeling of rejection. And having said that, let me say this in climax. You are worth Jesus to God. I love these 3 passages. Won't spend a lot of time on them, but you know Genesis 1, 26 and 27. God said, the Hebrew there, Elohim, plural, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit said, I'm going to make this crowning creation, this crowning jewel, in my image, after my likeness. The 2nd passage there, I think I referenced Sunday night when I spoke on Daniel here at VBS, Psalm 139, 13 and 14. David said, you form my inward parts. Think about how significant and special our inward parts are. You know, we have one of our members in the hospital right now struggling with an inward part. Our brother Sam, inward part, kidneys. How important are those kidneys? God, you form my inward parts. Yet, David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. In Philippians 1:6. In Philippians 1:6, Paul talked about remembrance. Remembrance. And how important it is to be remembered by God. And that's all important. And you are worth Jesus to God. I want to shut the PowerPoint down and I want to talk to you for 3 or 4 minutes about somebody who knows rejection more than anybody else in this room. In Isaiah 53 and verse 9, the Bible says, he was rejected by men. I want you to think about a calm, cool, collected individual. Somebody that doesn't get real high and somebody that doesn't get real low. You know, Denver reminds me of a person like that. That's a compliment. A person that's steady. And Jesus was rejected by people for no reason other than the fact that he was the Son of God. Look at John 1 verse 11. It says, he came into his own and his own received him not. Rejected. If there's anybody in this room who can identify with you, with me, with us, in the times that we've been rejected in our lives, it's Jesus. He knows. He knows rejection. Did you know there was a time for 3 hours when Jesus was rejected by His own Heavenly Father? Matthew 27:46. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why have you rejected me? Why have you forsaken me? He knew for 3 hours what it was like to be forsaken by His own Heavenly Father. Did you know that's never happened in our lives? Never. But Jesus felt it. I want to close with one scripture. It's John 12:48. And as I close with this, it's a call to come to Christ today and obey His words and follow His commands. Here's what it says. Watch this close now. He that rejecteth me and receive not my word, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Did you catch that verse? If we reject God, if we reject Jesus, if we reject His word, there's going to come a day when He's going to have to say, I'm going to have to reject you from heaven because you did not follow me and accept me and believe in me and obey me. It is incumbent upon us to do everything within our power to urge people to come to Jesus and receive Him so they will not be rejected at the great white throne judgment. Am I right about it? Grab your songbook. Let's get ready to sing our song. And as we do this morning, don't reject the call. Two words with a conjunction in the middle. Trust and obey. It's not enough just to trust. Somebody says, man, I believe, really. Prove it. Prove that you believe by confessing the sweet name of Jesus, and prove you believe by being immersed where you reach the blood of Jesus. You say, wait a minute, I'm a Christian, but I haven't lived like I ought to live. And I've let rejection overwhelm me and overcome in my life. Why don't you overcome rejection today by saying, God, I need you again. God's second pardon. We love you. We care about you. We're interested in you. And we welcome you this morning, Jason. Let's stand together and sing our song.